Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, welcome to the first weekend without any football. No college football, no NFL football, just a shitty-ass Pro Bowl. If you're into that, congratulations to you, but I am most certainly not. As a matter of fact, the Pro Bowl is a complete and utter waste of time, especially now that it's flag football, so who gives a fuck about that shit? But, oh man, no football. It always sucks. The end of the season is always so bittersweet because, you know, you want to watch playoff football, you're excited to see who goes to the Super Bowl, and then, of course, if your team is in the Super Bowl, you're even more excited, but then it's like we're whittling it down, and then we get to February. Ugh, and everybody knows February is just the worst month for sports fans. So, first weekend without football. Thank God we have basketball. And with that being said, we had us a crazy week of basketball. So let's recap some things that happened this week. It has been an up and down week for certain teams. Let's go ahead and begin on Monday night. The Denver Nuggets beat the Milwaukee Bucks in a very close matchup, 113-107. This was actually Doc Rivers' debut as the coach for the Milwaukee Bucks, and Jokic do what Jokic do, and that is get a triple-double. He had 25 points, 16 rebounds, and 12 assists, and then he also got a big boost from Jamal Murray, who also had 35 points. Milwaukee played a good game. It's just down the stretch, they just kind of faltered, and Denver, they are the defending champ, so got to bring your A game to them every time, and it just was not Milwaukee's night. So Denver got the win 113-107. Then also on Monday night, we had a big game between division rivals, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the Timberwolves ended up winning a close one, 107-101. Anthony Edwards had a big night, 27 points. Karl Anthony Towns had a double-double with 21 points and 10 rebounds. And then Rudy Gobert also had a double-double with 12 points and 18 rebounds. So the big three right there, they are getting stronger as the season goes on. And they took out a good team. And, I mean, it was a battle between both of them. But Minnesota got the best of Oklahoma City in that matchup. And then also on Monday night, we had the Cleveland Cavaliers take out the Los Angeles Clippers 118-108. The Clippers had been on a nice little winning streak there until they walked into Cleveland, who's actually now on a winning streak themselves. Donovan Mitchell had a double-double, 28 points, 12 assists. But on the opposite side of the court, Kawhi Leonard had a huge night, 30 points. He's actually having a fantastic season so far. Now that he's not injured, you know, Kawhi is one of the best players in the league. And so far, having a fantastic season. So we'll see what the Clippers are able to do. But they did get beat by Cleveland. Then on Tuesday night, the Boston Celtics just beat the Indiana Pacers 129-124. Jason Tatum had a huge night with 30 points. And then Jaylen Brown also had a nice night with 25 points. And, you know, Indiana, they've been playing really well this year. They're just a very, they're a silent but deadly team, and they've been taking it to every team that they've played this year, and they've beat some really good teams as well along the way. So it's going to be interesting to see if Indiana is able to kind of keep this up. But losing to Boston, you don't want to do that. But also, they made it a game. So then we had the New York Knicks take out the Utah Jazz, which continued their 8-game winning streak. They won 118-103. Jalen Brunson just went off for 29 points. Dante DiVincenzo also had a great night with 33 points. And this was their first game without Julius Randle, who suffered the dislocated shoulder. And they didn't seem to lose a step at all. As a matter of fact, there's another game I'm going to talk about later where they just keep it rolling. The Knicks are looking pretty solid, even though they've got the injury right now. Then moving on to Wednesday, another battle between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets. This time, Oklahoma City gets the better of the Nuggets, 105-100. In this matchup, there was no Nikola Jokic, though, so but I mean, still, it was a close matchup anyways. But SGA went off for 34 points, and just another big win for the Oklahoma City Thunder as they just keep maintaining this nice winning streak that they've got going on throughout the season. Then we had the return of Dame Lillard to Portland Trailblazers. Unfortunately for him, the Milwaukee Bucks just fell short to Portland 119 to 116. It was a battle pretty much all night. Damian Lillard had 25 points. But on the opposite side of things, Anfernee Simons had 24 points. And then Ayton had 20 points and 11 rebounds. So it was a nice win for the Portland Trailblazers and not a very fun homecoming for Damian Lillard. But you also notice the theme here that the Milwaukee Bucks have been losing basically since Doc debuted. He has yet to get a win. I mean, obviously, that's probably going to change at some point here, but that's two big losses this week to the Bucks, and they're close ones, too. Not blowouts or anything, but they're losing close ones. And, I mean, Portland's not a very good team either, so you don't really want to be losing to that team, but they did. And then on Thursday night, the New York Knicks, they continued their winning streak at 9 now, taking down the Indiana Pacers 109-105 in a battle. Jalen Brunson had 40 points. This guy cannot be stopped. He is really just taking this team over since he went to the team last year. He was a huge reason why they were so good last year. And they did fall short, of course, in the playoffs. But I just kind of feel like this year is going to be a little bit different than it's been, at least so far. I mean, Jalen Brunson is just, he's just killing it right now. In a 9-game winning streak, this team's playing defense and they're beating really good teams. Hopefully they're able to keep it up. But so far at this rate, Jalen Brunson is having a phenomenal season. Then in a shocking turn of events, the Los Angeles Lakers beat the crap out of the Boston Celtics last night, 114-105. The most surprising thing about this is that prior to the game, we found out that neither LeBron or Anthony Davis were playing last night. So I even was like, should I even bother watching this game? So I decided I'm going to see how it goes. And it turned out it was straight up Lakers domination. Reeves went off. He had 32 points last night. And it was just a really overall good game from the Lakers. They were distributing the ball really well. They were playing defense really well. They just made some really big plays against a really good team. And the Celtics are the top team in the league. I mean, if you listen to my power rankings, they've been number one for the majority of the season, as they were last year. But it's just, they're such a weird team because they're so dominating. But it's like, are they really that good? And I guess we'll obviously find out once the playoffs roll around, because I don't think they're going to fall off the face of the earth. It's just that they're losing to not so good teams at this point. I mean, the Lakers are not a good team. This team's floundering, 500. Barely their team. And then when you hear that LeBron and AD aren't playing, like I said, I was like, God, that sucks. Should I watch this game? And glad I did, because it turned out to be a really, really good game. But with the Celtics, it's probably kind of concerning. I mean, yes, they still have plenty of time to kind of clean things up, but this is kind of what we've been expecting from Boston over the last few years. They've been really good throughout the regular season. But then when faced with the tough challenges, they tend to fall short. And losing to the Lakers last night, and they were in Boston too, with no LeBron and AD, come on, that should have been an ass-kicking from Boston, and it turned out it was an ass-kicking from the Lakers. And then another big game last night, Philadelphia 76ers took out the Utah Jazz 127-124. It was actually announced before the game that Joel Embiid was not going to play. Turns out he has some sort of injury to his meniscus in his knee. You know, he's missed a couple of games due to knee soreness, and now it looks like it's kind of a serious injury. So he did not play last night, but Tyrese Maxey came back from injury and he went off for 51 points. So he said, you know what, you sit down, Embiid, I'm going to go ahead and take this over tonight. And they got a huge win that they definitely needed, because the Sixers are sliding now that Embiid has been battling the knee injury. They really haven't been playing well, but Maxey really stepped it up last night. And a little bit of NFL news this week. The last two coaching positions have now officially been filled. The Seattle Seahawks hired Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDonald for their head coaching position. And then the Washington Commanders ended up hiring Dan Quinn, the Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. So we'll see how that works out for the both of them. But now all the coaching positions are officially filled. In an odd turn of events, Bill Belichick is not hired with anybody for whatever reason. Maybe he wants to sit back and wait for a year, or maybe nobody wanted him. Either way, That was kind of weird. And then also Mike Vrabel did not get a job either. So we'll see. Those are going to be potential names out there for next year, of course. But we'll see what happens with the both of them if they end up going to some type of commentating. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are trying to go after Bill Belichick. And then, of course, Vrabel, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up as a defensive coordinator somewhere, or if he just takes the year off and waits until next year. And since we have no NFL this week, I thought it would be a good idea to recap all my preseason NFL picks to see how terrible or good I did with my picks. Now, I'd say I usually am about like 50-50, and it turns out this year I was about 50-50. So let's see what my preseason picks were compared to what they ended up being at the end of the season. So in the NFC, I thought the number one overall seed was going to be my Dallas Cowboys. Well, they didn't do too bad. They did end up with the number two seed, but not as dominating as I was hoping they were going to be. But that's who I had at number one. And my number two seed I had was the Minnesota Vikings. My number three seed I had was the Los Angeles Rams. And turns out I was riding that Rams train from the preseason. So I wasn't really that surprised by their little run. Then my number four seed, I had the New Orleans Saints, who of course did not make the playoffs. And then my number five seed, I had the Philadelphia Eagles. So I was right there. And then my number six seed I had was the San Francisco 49ers. So yeah, that was a dumb pick there. And then my number seven seed I had was the Chicago Bears. So I had them actually doing something, and they did not. Then in the AFC, I had my number one overall seed as the Kansas City Chiefs. Not number one overall seed this year, but they're in the Super Bowl, so I guess I had high hopes for them. Then my number two seed I had is the Buffalo Bills, which is where they ended up being. Number three, I had the Cincinnati Bengals. Of course, they went nowhere because there was no Joe Burrow to help them out. Then number four, I had the Jacksonville Jaguars, who completely imploded as the season went on. Then my number five seed I had was the New York Jets. Of course, their season was marred by Aaron Rodgers' injury right off the bat. Then at number six, I had the Chargers, who ended up firing their coach midseason. And then at number seven, I had the Baltimore Ravens, who ended up being the number one overall seed. So I had expectations for them, but not high expectations. Then I thought the NFC Conference Championship was going to be the Los Angeles Rams versus the Dallas Cowboys, and did not happen. And then the AFC Conference Championship, I had the Kansas City Chiefs versus the New York Jets. Obviously, I was half right on that one. And then my Super Bowl prediction, I had the Dallas Cowboys versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So I was half right on that. And then my champion, of course, I had as my Dallas Cowboys, which was far from it, but I was half right. I got the Chiefs in there, so we'll see what happens there. But those were my preseason NFL predictions, and they were pretty bad. But if most people actually recap their preseason predictions, that's how the majority of them would look, which is why most people don't do it, because they care so much about being wrong, and I just couldn't care less, because it's just opinion bullshit, and opinion bullshit never matters for anything, even if you're right. All right, so we do have a Trop 5 list this week. I decided to do something a little more fun. What kind of started it is, you know, the argument over, especially this year, has been over Brock Purdy. Is he a great quarterback? Is he a terrible quarterback? Is he a game manager? Is he this? Is he that? And I've been pretty consistent with my opinion on him. So far, I've been impressed with what he's done, but he's only 2 years in the league as a starter. You never know where somebody's career is going to end up. I mean, let's use Russell Wilson as the perfect example. The dude goes from being drafted by the Seattle Seahawks, kind of being, he was drafted low, about third, fourth round. I can't remember. I think it was third or fourth, one of those two. And, you know, not a lot of high hopes for him, but he's goes in as the backup, then ends up earning the starting position, takes the Seahawks to two Super Bowls, wins one, loses one. And then all of a sudden, he starts losing in Seattle, then gets traded to the Broncos, does terrible there, and it looks like he's going to get traded away or released from the Broncos. So that's what I mean. You have to let somebody's career play out before you start crowning them certain things. And so that's where I'm at with Brock Purdy, is I haven't really judged much of him past what he's done. I'm not going to say he's the second coming of Joe Montana, and I'm not going to say he's the second coming of crapbag McDouchebag. You know, like, who? You don't know. He's 2 years in the league. So with that being said, I decided to do the top five mediocre Super Bowl champion quarterbacks, because there are some mediocre quarterbacks who have actually ended up winning the Super Bowl. Now, if you actually look at the list of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, because these are Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, not just guys who have made the Super Bowl, but these are ones who have actually won the Super Bowl, because any chump can pretty much just make the Super Bowl. Winning, it's a big deal. But when you look at the list of the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, it's all Hall of Famers. It's all dudes who belong there. But then, of course, there's these other guys sprinkled in, and you're like, damn, that guy won a Super Bowl. But that just goes to show you it's a team sport. An entire team wins, and it doesn't matter how mediocre you are or whatever. If you just step it up at the right time, you could end up being a Super Bowl champion like these five guys. But basically, what makes them mediocre is not just kind of the way we looked at them when they made the Super Bowl, but also just their careers overall. Every single one of them has been a journeyman. He goes from team to team to team, and just happened to be in the right place at the right time, which doesn't, it's not a bad thing. If you are a Super Bowl champion, you are a Super Bowl champion. But these five quarterbacks were very, very mediocre, but still Super Bowl champions. So let's start off with number five, and that would be Trent Dilfer. He won Super Bowl 35 with the Baltimore Ravens. In that season, he had signed with them in the offseason, wasn't expected to be the starter, and then he actually ended up taking over midseason. They would go on this crazy winning streak, which was what would keep him in the game. Actually had a very nice playoff run, and he would just do what he would do. Now, if you remember this Baltimore Ravens team, you know, this had Ray Lewis on it and, you know, guys of that nature. They were just one of the greatest defenses of all time, for sure. He had a fantastic team surrounding him with some really good weapons as well. But the thing about Trent Dilfer is just overall his career, he was a straight-up journeyman. He started off with the the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then to the Baltimore Ravens, then the Seattle Seahawks, the Cleveland Browns, and then the San Francisco 49ers. His career record is 58-55, so that's very mediocre. His quarterback rating is a 70.2 for his career, so once again, mediocre. And then, of course, this was his only season with Baltimore. As a matter of fact, he would be let go in the offseason because he only signed a one-year deal. He only signed a one-year deal with Baltimore, and they just would end up not bringing him back. And they wouldn't be a good team, of course, but I mean, that's how much faith they had in him, is that he wasn't even good after winning us a Super Bowl. And really, if you look at his entire career as a whole, he played as a starter in Tampa for the most part. He played as a starter for his first year, the first and only year with Baltimore, and then he was pretty much backup central the rest of his career. And the only other season he had that was a winning season was a 10-6 season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So overall, that's why he belongs on this list. He's a very mediocre quarterback who had a very mediocre career, but still goes down in history as a Super Bowl champion, and you can't take that away from him. Then at number four on my top five mediocre Super Bowl champion quarterbacks, Brad Johnson. He won Super Bowl 37 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He started off his career with the Minnesota Vikings. He would actually have a little stint over in London in the European Football League, which no longer exists. Then he would come back and play with the Washington Redskins, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Minnesota Vikings, and end his career with the Dallas Cowboys. The season that he would end up winning the Super Bowl is one of his best seasons. He actually had a couple of really good seasons where when he first started, because he had two stints with the Vikings. He started his career off with the Vikings and then had another, and kind of ended his career with the Vikings, if you will. But in 1 year, the first time, his first stint with the Vikings, he had a solid year where they went to the playoffs. And then in his second stint with the Vikings, he also had like a solid year. Where I think he went like 8-2 as a starter. So he had a couple of moments. But overall, Brad Johnson was pretty much just a game manager who you could bring in, who wouldn't really fuck shit up, but he couldn't move. I remember when he played with the Cowboys, and I was like, oh my God, he is the fucking Statue of Liberty back there. Like, he had a great arm. He was on, like, if you gave him the greatest offensive line, that's why he won a Super Bowl, as a matter of fact. I mean, he had a really solid offense, but that defense also was amazing and fantastic. And it was just a really amazing year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers overall. Actually, that season was one of his best career seasons. He went 10-3 that season with the Buccaneers. And then he also had another 10-win season when he was with the Washington Redskins. They went 10-6 there. But, I mean, his career record is a 72-53, so that's mediocre. And then his quarterback rating is an 82.5, so once again, mediocre. It's just he spent most of his time as a journeyman, and he did what he did. He would step in, and if you needed him to make big plays, he could make some big plays. It's just overall, Brad Johnson was a very mediocre quarterback, and he is, of course, a Super Bowl champion, and you can't take that away from him. Then at number three on my top five mediocre Super Bowl champion quarterbacks, Jim McMahon. He is actually technically a two-time Super Bowl champion, but one of those he was a backup. The one where he was a starter was, of course, when he was with the Chicago Bears, Super Bowl 20, the 1985 Bears. He spent the first, like, 4 years of his career with Chicago. Not terrible years. He did make it to the playoffs a majority of the time, but he spent most of his career injured. And pretty much every team after that, he was with them for only like a year. So the other teams he ended up with, the San Diego Chargers, Philadelphia Eagles, Minnesota Vikings, Arizona Cardinals, Cleveland Browns, and the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers was when he won as a backup Super Bowl 31, when he was a backup for Brett Favre. But I mean, overall, I think Jim McMahon is pretty overrated. Most people actually think he was a good quarterback. And I've always looked at him as like, dude, he was just on a very, very, very excellent team. I mean, literally one of the most legendary defenses of all time, the 85 Bears. Then you got Walter Payton, literally one of the most legendary running backs of all time. So the dude had weapons completely surrounding him. And then really, if you look at the rest of his career, even with injuries, just being with a team for a year, it just goes to show you really actually weren't that good. His career record is a 67-30, so that's not terrible, but I mean, really, his good years were with the Bears, and like I said, legendary defense, Walter Payton, the end. Here's his quarterback rating. His career quarterback rating is a 78.2. That's terrible. I'm sorry. He was not that good, very overrated, and quite frankly, in my opinion, very lucky to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears and to have be so revered as he is with the Bears. But still, he is a Super Bowl champion times two, and you can't take that away from him. Then at number two on my top five mediocre Super Bowl champion quarterbacks, Jeff Hostetler. He actually is a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, but one, he was the backup quarterback. The second one, he was the starter. So he won Super Bowl 21, where he was the backup quarterback to Phil Sims, and then Super Bowl 25, where he actually took over for Phil Sims earlier in the season after Phil Sims went down with an injury. He actually stepped in and played pretty solid, but for the most part, Jeff Hostetler, he was begging for playing time so badly that he would actually try and volunteer to be like on the punt and kick return teams as the quarterback. So that's how terrible he was. He spent most of his career with the New York Giants. He did play with the Los Angeles / Oakland Raiders for a while and then ended his career with the Washington Redskins. But he was a very, very mediocre quarterback. I mean, he was a backup for a lot of it, and he really did only take over because Phil Sims ended up getting injured. And he had, once again, another fantastic defense and a really solid offense and Bill Parcells as your coach. And once he left the Giants, he never did a goddamn thing ever the fuck again. His career record is 51-32. Most of those wins are because he played with the Giants, for Christ's sake. His quarterback rating is a paltry 80.5. So Jeff Hostetler, to me, it's always been amazing to even say that he's a Super Bowl champion, but he is, and you can't take that away from him. But number one on my top five mediocre Super Bowl champion quarterbacks is Nick Foles. He won Super Bowl 52 with the Philadelphia Eagles. And talk about journeyman. This guy has played with the Philadelphia Eagles, the St. Louis Rams, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles again, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Chicago Bears, and the Indianapolis Colts. And then finally just had to just go off into non-existence. I don't even think he's officially retired. It's just nobody has signed his bunk ass. And I mean, let's just start off with the obvious on this dude. This dude has never in his entire career started an entire season, even when he won the Super Bowl, because he took over for Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz got injured towards the end of the season that year, and then he just had this magical playoff run, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And don't get me wrong, he stepped in and played his role, but overall, Nick Foles is just straight-up backup. That's all he has ever been. The only time he starts is when he's not, or when somebody else is injured. So he pretty much is one of the luckiest players of all time to even have a Super Bowl ring. His career record is a 29-29, so that's the ultimate mediocrity right there. And his quarterback rating is an 86.2. So, yeah, he's a pretty terrible quarterback, but guess what? He's won the Super Bowl, and you can't take that away from him. He even has a freaking statue outside of the Philadelphia Eagles stadium because it's the play that pretty much won the Super Bowl for them. So congratulations to you, Nick Foles. You are literally one of the most mediocre motherfuckers to ever win a Super Bowl. But guess what? You got you a statue. So you can't take that shit away from him, can you? So, yeah, that's this week's Trop 5. Try and get through this depressing weekend of no football. Enjoy all the basketball because we've got plenty of college and NBA basketball on tap. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.